Welcome. Missy Wednesday already had a birthday. Happy. Happy birthday, everybody. Yeah. Oh, you'll know your birthday, right? So, don't worry. Yeah, happy birthday. Everybody in January, not February. So, you know your birthday. Good to see you all. And thank you for coming, sister. Joni's friend, Alex?
Alejandra.
Good to see you, dear. Welcome again. That was a good word by, sorry, Brother Kobe. Sister Rosie. We thank God for everybody. Good to see you all. And praise God. Give the Lord a praise, eh? All right. We're in Isaiah chapter 40, and when I started, I thought it would be just a couple of services. Isaiah chapter 40, and when I started it, just before that week of Christmas, I think was, I thought it would be just a couple of services or sermons. But the Lord's been dealing with me to really pay attention to it, to that chapter. And there's so much to say in that chapter. And of course, there's a lot of different opinions, and people have opinions. People come up with different ideas. If you go into chapter 44. There's a section there that deals with idols. Trees being idols and so on. But you've got to understand that there are many scriptures that trees are not always idols. Because you have the tree of life, which is Christ. That's not an idol. The tree of life, you find that in Genesis, and you'll find that even in Revelations. You find that the tree of life in Proverbs, I think it's the third chapter, where it tells you what the tree of life is. Can you all hear me? In Proverbs, the third chapter, have your Bibles, look at your scriptures, follow that, and then you know if I'm telling you the truth or not. In Proverbs, the third chapter, it speaks of wisdom.
Happy
is what verse? Where wisdom is a tree of life. What does verse 13 says? That well, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Then down in verse 18 said, she is a tree of life. So that's not an idol. See, you get wisdom, so that's not an idol. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it tells us that Jesus Christ is our wisdom.
Yes.
See, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And verse 18, Proverbs chapter 3, says she is a tree of life. That's not an idol. She's a tree of life. To them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. See, she's a tree of life, and we know what the tree of life is. You can find that in Revelations. You can find that in Ezekiel. And in Genesis 2, 9, the tree of life is first revealed there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. What does it say?
Out of the ground,
the Lord made the Lord God to
grow every tree.
Out of the ground, are you reading?
Yes. Out of the
ground,
may
the Lord God to grow
every tree
that is pleasant to the sight
and
good for food.
The
tree of life also
in
the midst of the garden. Okay. But I want to then Wednesday night we were dealing with several places like Psalms, where Psalms chapter 1, where it speaks about is it the righteous man, or he shall be like a
tree.
Yes, the man that he shall be like a tree. Psalms 1, and also in Jeremiah chapter 17. Psalms 1 said he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. That's tremendous, isn't it? And he bringeth forth fruit, his fruit, in his season. See, that's the righteous man. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth
shall prosper.
But the ungodly, they're not so. Okay, they're not like the tree of life, the tree that's planted by the river of water. Then we have in Matthew, where we have the corrupt tree, and we have the good tree. The corrupt tree bring forth corrupt fruit, and the good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The corrupt human nature that we receive from Adam. In Adam all died, the corruptible. Adam became corruptible. Man became corruptible. The thoughts, his imagination. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So we needed someone, to a cunning workman, a cunning engraver to carve us out of the first Adam. And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that how it's the Lord Jesus Christ that did that. Are we quickened us? You are the quickened by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the cunning craftsman that designed the cross. See, remember, Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, the Virgin, as a holy, pure, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And in Ephesians, the second chapter, it tells you at the quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, as by one man sin, death came. That's the sin of the first Adam, as by one man sin. And we died in Adam, as in Adam all died. We died in Adam. But Christ quickened us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We were translated from the first Adam. We were carved out of this fallen human, the first man that represented us. We were carved out of him by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we were placed, translated,
yes,
okay, into the second Adam. Okay? In Adam we died. But in Christ we're made alive. So now you are in Christ Jesus. And we have life in Christ. He said, because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
See, so We are a new creature. You're not the same person. You have the same body, but you have a new nature. Okay? You have the nature of the new man. The new Adam. You say, but it doesn't feel that way. See, but you go by faith. And you go by what God says you are. By who God says you are. And if God says he quickens you and he translates you and into the second Adam, the incorruptible, immortal, that's who you are. See, God placed us into the second Adam. Now, I want to go back into a little bit more into the trees. And in First Chronicles, I've been trying to get to this scripture for a while. And in First Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the whole chapter is beautiful. I don't have time to, not right now, another session, I will read it. But this deals with, this is the total new man, the total new image. But go down let me see where I should, because all of it is so good in this chapter that you see I'm tempted to read it from verse 7 down. But you can read from verse 7 to verse 36. But I'm going to go to verse 20. Okay, 20. Let me go to 26. Let me go to verse 25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are just idols. See, so we know what that is. Idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. So when you come here all sleepy and you gave your time to yourself, and maybe Saturday night you was up doing all kind of stuff, all kind of movies. You don't know that the devil wear you out with TV, movies, all kind of stuff, and you're worn out because you were not sanctified. Every vessel should be holy. You're not dedicated. You're not set apart. You see, because you just do your own thing. So Sunday morning you come quickly and try to get a little fire. But that's strange fire. That's wildfire. And you wonder, how come I'm sleepy? How come I don't have the life? How come somebody have to be waking me up? See? You fall asleep on the job, you get fired. See? And you wonder why. See? But you have that draggy, disrespectful spirit. Because if you love God, you will go to bed on time, so you could wake up. So I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of God. But if you come to the house and it's a drag, see, you think God's going to give you a wonderful heaven? No, he's not going to do that. So in verse 29, give unto the Lord, here's what you're supposed to give him. The glory that's due unto his name. What kind of glory? You mean when you sit there and your mind is off and you're wondering what time church is getting out? That's not giving him any glory that's due to his name. Bring an offering. Not just your money. Yes, you're supposed to, but a praise offering. A worship. What did you bring? Now what did you bring? Did you bring anything except a yawn and a burp? Huh? And you have a hard time keeping your eyes open? What did you bring? Come on. You think that a king and seeing someone standing out there yawning and, you know, But we need to develop respect for God.
Amen.
And it says, verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring, not send, but bring an offering and come before him. And come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Not in a sleeping experience, but in the beauty of holiness. See, holiness is when you're in that word and that anointing and that spirit. When you have the mind of God. He says, fear before him. Remember, Ephesians says we're supposed to stand before him holy and without blame before him in love. So you bring before him, what do you bring before him?
An offering.
And come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him. All the earth, the world also shall be stable. That means he's going to bring everything under control and establish it in righteousness. You see all this turmoil that's going on? But when Jesus Christ returns, it will be stabled. Because he will cause the Eden to beat their war equipments and all the turmoils will come in subjection to Jesus. Why do the heathen rage? It's because they don't have a knowledge of God. See, when you come into a knowledge of God, you lose all of that hostility and lawlessness, rebellion. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. See, that's rebellion. And God gave us this time so he can test us. Because you're not going to be in the kingdom with that spirit. That's why you're here. Okay? That's why we're here now. You're not in heaven, right? You're not in the kingdom yet. You're right here. And God is watching you. Because he searches the heart. You can't fool God. He's not deceived. He's not mocked. So he says that in verse 30, fear before him, all the earth, and he said the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. So if he's going to have a world that will not move, will not be moved, so he has to have subjects that will not be moved, cannot be shaken, the unshakables. So that's why we seek a cunning workman that will carve out an image that cannot be moved, but will be in, exist, or live, rather, in a stable world throughout the ages of eternity. That's why he's got to carve out your life. So we, because the corruptible passes away, but the incorruptible is forever. So verse 31. So remember all this, that cannot be moved. These are important words. And we have that in Isaiah 40. See, an image that cannot be moved. Every image, every other image will be shaken down. The image of, as we are born, the image of the first Adam, that will be removed. Heaven and earth will pass away, that will be removed. Behold, I shake all things that can be shaken, that will be removed. But it's only that which cannot be shaken.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And that's Christ in you.
Praise God.
The hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Verse what? 31? Now, look at it. Pay attention now. Let's read. Let the heavens be glad. And let the earth rejoice. See, that's the kingdom. And let men say among the nations, They're not saying it now. The Lord reigneth, but it's going to be done. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. But look at verse 32. Read this out. Let what? That's the sea of humanity. That's not the sea down there making noise because after a storm. But it said, let the sea roar with what? Praises and the fullness thereof. That means the fullness would be, remember that of his fullness of all we receive? The fullness would be with the fullness of his glory. See, that's when men, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water cover the sea. The sea will roar with praises. You see, when there's a storm, when there's a storm out there, all that waves come in and the noise and well, that's not that kind of roaring, but it's the roaring like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Then it goes on. The field is the world. And let the fields rejoice. And all that is therein. Now the fields rejoice. What field? Not the corn field out there. But the field is the world. See? The world where the treasure is found. Hallelujah. Where Christ is the head. And look at the next verse says, read that out now. Because this is why we came here. Then what? When everything becomes stable, the sea begin to roar. Amen. The heavens be glad, the earth rejoice, and men begin to say among the nations, the Lord reigneth, the seas roaring, and the fullness thereof, the world, the fields, the earth, and what's going to happen? In verse 33, then, you notice what happened? Then who, what? Those lives that sought a cunning workman, that has found this cunning workman, which is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because Christ died on a cross, the tree. See, that's the tree of life, the cross, the whole rugged cross. It can never pass away. That cross, I will cling to the old rugged cross. The old rugged cross makes the difference. Calvary's cross, I shall never forget. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein that came from the cross. He died on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. He became cursed for us on the cross. That's the tree that cannot be moved. It cannot rot. That cross stands. Calvary still stands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone that comes to Christ finds redemption through the cross. We are carved out from the first Adam into the new Adam. Amen. So, let the trees of the wood. The trees are the people. The woods sing out. Right now the heathen raging and they don't have a lot to sing for. But God's going to turn it all around. And joy and gladness is going to come where the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Where God won't have a church that comes to church sleepy. Where the pastor have to spend most of the time waking them up. But awake thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's not going to be an off dead, but he's coming back for a church with life, without a triumphant church. And Revelation says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the blood that was shed at Calvary. Calvary, the cross, still stands. It's not an idol. It's our life. Because Paul says, God forbid that I should glory. That's our glory. Saving the cross of Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It's the cross. Hallelujah. It's that cross, that old rugged cross, the blood of the cross that makes the difference. Zechariah pronounced it this way. He says it's a fountain in that day. There would be a fountain open. We're living in the day right now. In that day, that's the day when he was crucified. And a fountain was opened for sins. And for uncleanness. That fountain is open right now. Amen. That anyone wants to be washed. Amen. Anyone want to be made clean. He washes you. Amen. And washes you. All your sorrows. Your sickness. By his stripes we were healed. Where? On the cross. It's on the cross. Our life is hid with God in Christ. Amen. So this is a beautiful scripture. It said, then shall the trees, that's the saying, that's the elect, the overcomer, the children of God. Okay? The same one in Judges 9, we had that this morning. We had that Wednesday night. There was a time when the trees of the wood. Let me just turn that quickly. In Judges chapter 9, when the trees, there was a time when the trees of the wood, they went forth to anoint a king. Okay, we had that. So, verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign over thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, and wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? No. Question. And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, Then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. See, but now over here, the people, the trees of the wood, are going to find a king. Amen. They're going to find a king. And this king that they find will have all of the qualities of the olive. The sweetness of the vine and all of these that we just read.
Amen.
But he will not be a bramble.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But now notice when the trees of the wood find their king.
Yes.
That king is Jesus. What's going to happen?
Yes.
They are going to rejoice.
Yes.
You're not listening.
Then
shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence. That's the second advent. My Lord. Somebody ought to shout. Oh, I wish I had a church that was on fire. That was alive. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out. Praise God. At the presence of the Lord. Why?
Because.
Why? Why are they going to sing? Why weren't the trees singing in Judges and looking for a bramble?
They didn't have a king.
Huh? Looking for a bramble. Anything that is without Christ is a bramble.
Yes.
A life. A church, an experience, without, there's no song. But when Christ comes, he becomes your song.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He becomes your rejoicing.
Yeah.
He becomes your joy. He says, then shall the trees of the wood sing out. Oh Lord, let the people rejoice. Let them sing praises to God. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise. Shout with the voice of triumph. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out. Come on, lift your voice up and sing praises to God. My. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. Who give thanks unto the Lord? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Are you giving thanks? Or the only time you give thanks is when a preacher encourages you to give thanks? Or when a preacher encourages you, then you clap your hands? Or a preacher, somebody's got to encourage you. Or lay hands on you? Huh? Or can you do it because you love God? Huh? You do it because there's a joy inside of you. My, my, my. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Do you have a new song? Or you come to church with your mouth locked, close up. You ought to get with it. Get on fire. Get stirred up. Get a love of God in your heart. Are you worrying about the things that the bramble have? The little shade. Brambles doesn't have much shade. Not much protection. That's why you're so sad. If the Brambley's your king. But we only have one king. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to ask you, is he your king right now? Right now. Do you love him? To say, Jesus, you are my king. Then shall the trees. Are you one of the trees of the Lord? And remember now, why you, can you praise? Because another psalm says the trees of the Lord are filled with sap. When you're filled with the anointing. You're filled with the joy of God. You're filled with the presence of God. The trees of the Lord, they're filled with sap. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise him. They're not dry up. But they're filled with life. They're filled with sap. Is there a scripture in Psalms 104:16? Let me see what that says. Psalms 104 verse 16. Read, what does it say there? That's what I just said, didn't I? I just quoted that, didn't I? What it says? 104 and verse 16 says. Well, we can back up a little bit more. Let's back up a little bit more. Let's go to verse 13 says, let's read fast. He watereth the hills from his chamber. That's God. Can you imagine God, that shower of rain coming down and God just standing up on his porch looking over and just getting his watering can and his hose? He watered the hills from his chamber, right? And the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth food, out of the earth. I mean, this doesn't need any explanation, right? And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. What a God. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he had planted, where the birds make their nest, and as for the stork, the fir tree, our house, the high hills, are a refuge for the wild goats, and it goes on. It's telling you the greatness of this God. Amen? And it goes on. This is a wonderful chapter. You get a lot of experience and wisdom. But what does 96 says? Read that.
96 says that let the fields be joyful and all that
Psalms 96, verse 12, read on. Says, let the fields
be joyful
and all that is therein. Remember, the field is the world. Mm-hmm. Then shall all the trees
of the wood,
there it goes again, twice for emphasis, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Where are they going to rejoice?
Before
the Lord. There's the same thing. For he cometh to judge the earth. Then he's going to do it with righteousness. And the people with his truth. See, you understand why this world is not filled with justice, filled with a lot of injustice. But when he comes back, it will be a world that is filled with righteousness. And the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the water cover the sea. Now, then let me, we've had Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Then we can go begin to move into Ezekiel. Is it the 47? Help me, Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. It deals a lot about the trees. Ezekiel 47, is it? My, I tell you, from we've had this lesson, you all should have get your Bibles and stop running around, stop trying to get better and look better in this life. You're trying to improve your image. That's it. You see, that's another mistake right there. You focus on the self-image. You know, the better you, you're going to look better. But you forget the image of Christ. Heaven and earth passed away. God is not trying to improve the first image, Adam, because that's going to pass away. It's corruptible. But it's the image of the new man, Christ in you. See, there's a new man that God works on. It's the new image that will stand before the Lord blameless or without blame, holy, before him in love. See, that's the image. The image of the first, like David says, and we'll get into that. David speaks about, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awaken your likeness. David had everything naturally. One of the richest king. One of the richest men. But that did not bring the satisfaction that he wanted. Because he was asking God to hew out something more in him. What did he say? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, who shall ascend into your holy hill? He wanted to know how to get to Zion, or to get to the holy hill. Then, I think, is it chapter 8 says, he that has a clean hands and a pure heart. Chapter 8? Is it of Psalms? Was it 24? Right, that tells us that he had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Okay? But his hands are clean. And he shall receive the blessing, Psalms 24,
verse 5
says,
he shall receive
the blessings from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. Is that? Notice. This is the generation that want to be carved out. Okay? Seek his face, carved out from the first Adam. We want a new image. That's Christ.
Amen.
We don't want to be, we don't want to remain in the first Adam, but as Paul says, and to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, of Christ. In other words, he has to translate you. That work has to be done in your life right now. Not when you die. Okay? It's right now while you're alive that the cunning workman, that's why he sent the Holy Spirit into the earth. It's called the Comforter, Comfortee. Comfort ye my people, said the Lord. Why? Because they were like grass that withered and the flowers that faded. But he was going to change them into his image and into his likeness. How was he going to do it? By the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. You ever let that word of God begin to carve you out?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Let the word of God carve you out of sin, of shame. Carve the glory of God in you. You let that word of God begin to carve you. Is there a scripture in, I thought at 109, 31? Psalms 109, let me see. Okay, let me. Is it 31? Oh, okay, well, this is a poor man. Okay, remember, it's a poor man that had no oblation. The poor man in Isaiah 40, he has no oblation, no sacrifice, nothing to give. What did you have when you came to the cross? Tell me, come on. What did you have? In verse 19 of Isaiah 40, this person that had silver and gold and seek a workman, not a cunning workman. Not the Holy Ghost is the cunning workman.
Amen.
To melt a gold. But remember, you're not redeemed with silver and gold.
No. Yes.
But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So let me go to Ezekiel is there. Okay, when you can read Ezekiel 40, is it 47? Where the trees, right? You have, and on either side was the tree and the tree of life and so on. Read that chapter. But I want to go to Revelation, the 22nd, is it? Go read. Turn to that very, very fast. For time's sake, you can read Ezekiel. But Revelation, the 22nd chapter, I notice verse what? Read verse 1. I notice he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And notice, you find the same thing in Ezekiel. That's why I said you can read that for yourself. And in the midst of the street, look at that, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, what? No, pay attention. Was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. All right, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Hold your finger, I'll come back there. Go to First Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 25, I think it is. Let's read that fast. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 20 to verse 25.
For what glory is it
if when you be buffeted
for your faults,
you shall take it patiently. Verse 20. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Next verse. For even whereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Ah, there it is. There it is. Who is what? Read that and shout. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. That's the tree. Somebody shout. Are you listening now? Did you get that? Are you listening? He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the tree that we seek for. My Lord, that's not an idol. You ought to read the Bible. Amen. Every tree in the Bible is not an idol. But this one is carved out by a cunning workman, and that's the Holy Spirit. The blood and the Spirit. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. These are powerful scriptures. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. That's a tree in Isaiah 53. We had it Wednesday night. I feel like shouting, don't you? Now, let's say that. He said, go back to verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the trees, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes? Underline that. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now, carved out, returned, reconciled, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop, hallelujah, of our souls. Because he carved us out. For the first man, Adam, was a soul man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What else is there? Now go back to verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, notice, dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Underline that. By whose stripes ye were healed. What does the stripes do? What is it for?
Healing of the nation.
is for what?
Healing.
The stripes. What does the stripe do there in Peter? By whose stripes? Are you reading? By whose stripes? By whose stripes? We were healed by what? By the stripes. So it's the stripes that heal us. Right? But go back to Revelations 22 verse 2. Let's read. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there that tree, who's that?
Christ.
Was there the what? The tree of life. Hallelujah. Was the cross a tree of life? Where do you find life? At the cross, at the cross. Said, was said, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And notice here, and the what? And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. By his stripes we are healed, or were healed. And in Revelation now, the leaves are the stripes.
Amen.
The leaves are the stripes. You can't change it. The leaves are the stripes, are for the healing of the nation. So in the Old Testament is the stripes, Peter called it, the stripes. But in the kingdom, now the stripes is the leaves. From that tree of life. And it's for the healing. It's for the healing of the nations. So no wonder the trees are going to be glad. No wonder the trees of the wood are going to be glad. Because no more sickness, no more sorrows, no more death, no more pain. But the former things are passed away. And behold, I make all things new, said the Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. Hallelujah.